K. Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. Ahead of a court hearing, the Justice Department has filed a status report on the Maryland man mistakenly deported to El Salvador, saying it will facilitate his return if he arrives at a port and then would deport him to another country. The administration said yesterday Kilmer Abrego Garcia was deported to El Salvador because that's his country of origin. His wife a short time ago.
I will not stop fighting until I see my husband alive.
President Trump has frozen $2 billion in grants from Harvard, which refused his demands to stop activism on campus. Vina Dubal is general counsel for the American Association of University Professors.
The president is acting unlawfully in withholding these funds, making these threats, and creating a constitutional crisis on campuses across the country.
President Trump has also threatened to remove Harvard's tax-exempt status. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 155, NASDAQ down 8 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A new Milwaukee countywide effort is targeting reckless driving. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley and other officials gathered yesterday to announce some temporary traffic safety tools. Those include flashing crosswalks and speed monitors in five Milwaukee suburbs. Those include Greendale, West Allis, Wauwatosa, Shorewood, and South Milwaukee. Crawley is emphasizing collaboration across municipalities. Officials will spend the next 5 weeks studying traffic patterns to develop long-term safety solutions. The DNR says they'll let you know when it's okay to burn. The rain should help a little. State officials still have the southern part of Wisconsin in a high risk for fire danger. Some places had put a halt on outdoor burning. The risk could stick around through at least tomorrow. A legal battle brews in Oak Creek over Buc-ee's. People living near the proposed mega gas station claim the city rushed zoning changes without addressing their fears of noise, traffic, and declining property values. The proposed site off I-94 just north of the Racine County line would host Wisconsin's first Buc-ee's. However, residents argue the council dismissed their pleas during the March vote. Both sides took part. Now one side wants to end it. Melissa Kay has more about loads of campaign cash.
Wisconsin Democrats are seeking to get big money out of campaigns with a statewide referendum. Lawmakers in the State Assembly and State Senate are reintroducing a resolution that would effectively overturn the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision by amending the state constitution. The decision allowed corporations to be treated like people in campaigns, increasing the amount of money they could contribute to their preferred candidates. If the bill makes it through the legislature, it would appear on the November 2026 ballot.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Tigers trounce on Alexander. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Tigers 9-1. It was pitcher Tyler Alexander's second start for the crew, giving up 8 runs and 6 walks in just 4 innings.
You know, I thought I made some good pitches. I thought I made some bad pitches that they hit. You know, it seemed as though they eliminated in, especially cutters in, and as a result, I didn't really execute down or away very well.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think Alexander, you know, the numbers don't look pretty for him, but this kid has sucked it up for us and taken on a role that's not normal to him. And Alvin Rodriguez came in and did a great job himself. A little different time to pitch when you're already down 9-0, but no discredit to Alvin. He did great. Should have been about a 3-0 game, and credit to Detroit the way they swing it.
NBA, the Bucks holding practice, getting ready to head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers Saturday in game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With more clouds than sunshine today and breezy winds still gusting out of the northwest around 35 miles per hour, high temperatures will still scrape 50. Then tomorrow, a high-pressure system settles in, giving us a calm and comfortable sunny day with highs in the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 48.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all.
Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
New texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Anybody remember, you know, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here. The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, are voucher schools taking on their fair share of kids with disabilities? They say yes. Why? Because they say so, based on a guess.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And happy, happy days. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part of
Thanks for tuning in for today's encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Today, we're going to listen to Dom's discussion on January 6th of this year. Of course, a very important date in our history and a discussion and a lot of calls that are still very relevant today with the Trump administration's actions. Coming next week on Wednesday the 23rd, Civic Media rolls out its new lineup. You can head to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. In the meantime, enjoy.
Today, January 6th.
Again.
Or as I like to call it, Happy Hang Mike Pence Day.
I thought you were getting that out of your system before we went on the air.
Yes. No. It's a Hang Mike Pence Day. Do you remember? I remember. We were live.
So what? Who cares?
Who cares? Oh, yeah. Who cares? So what? Oh, no big deal. Whatever. They want to. Trump supporters filing through the Capitol chanting, Hang Mike Pence. Nothing to see here. Whatever. I saw a headline at the Washington Post. Perhaps we'll get to it later. The meh-ification of January 6th. Because that's what it is. Well, today is January 6th. And we actually, you know, apparently the Dems aren't challenging, unlike the Republicans did oh so many years ago, the results of this election. And Kamala Harris, vice president, in charge of reading out, she had to call the roll and read the numbers and give the final totals for herself and for Donald Trump.
Indeed.
That had to take some constitution to get through. I wonder if Donald Trump,
clarity, whatever the level of it.
Right, we have it, right?
We don't have the actual clips part, of her just reading it out loud. It was not the clearest audio.
and it's supposed to be uneventful.
Right. And it was.
No one was chanting, running through the building saying, Hang Kamala Harris.
No.
No, not even no one, as far as I know, no one was even chanting the Hang Mike Pence. You know, how quickly we forget.
Indeed.
Can we make it a federal holiday, the Hang Mike Pence Day? Because, I mean, if it's no big deal, you can't be getting mad if I'm saying it's Hang Mike Pence Day. I know some conservatives and Republicans out there might be mad because I keep saying it's Hang Mike Pence Day, and it's terrible, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. I'm just repeating what all those Trumpsters were saying as they were marching through the Capitol. Hang Mike Pence. Hang Mike Pence. Anyway, so today a little, I guess a little more normal.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of sound from the vice president.
Indeed.
I think we should go there and let's hear how it went today. Kamala Harris, the vice president, certifying Trump's victory today. Let's hear cut number two, please.
Well, today was obviously a very important day, and it was about what should be the norm and what the American people should be able to take for granted, which is that one of the most important pillars of our democracy is that there will be a peaceful transfer of power. And today, I did what I have done my entire career, which is take seriously the oath that I have taken many times to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, which included today performing my constitutional duties to ensure that the people of America, the voters of America, will have their votes counted, that those votes matter, and that they will determine then the outcome of an election. I do believe very strongly that America's democracy is only as strong as our willingness to fight for it. Every single person, their willingness to fight for and respect the importance of our democracy. Otherwise, it is very fragile, and it will not be able to withstand moments of crisis. And today, America's democracy stood.
Today, America's democracy stood. Unlike 4 years ago today on Hang Mike Pence Day, the inaugural Hang Mike Pence Day.
When it wobbled.
It wobbled, it paused, it stopped, it was delayed purposefully by a mob called to D.C. by Donald Trump. He called the mob. He summoned the mob. It will be wild. Fight like hell. You're not going to have a country anymore. And he threw in a few good, hey, be peaceful too. just to try to give himself a little cover.
Just the tiniest
bit. Just a little bit. Just a little cover. Folks, 855-752-4842. It's happened. Well, it didn't happen like it did in 2021. But we are, you know, governing. It's going through the normal processes this time. Apparently, no big deal. Everyone's real confident. At least a lot of the Republicans are real confident in the election results this time. Wow, because their guy won. Weird how that works. Aquilino Gunnell, a former sergeant at the Capitol Police, had a piece in the New York Times, and I think it is, it's striking. And I'm not a big reader alouder, but I want to give due respect to this former sergeant and what he had to say. He was there on the ground, and I think it's important. So bear with me for just a few minutes, and we'll get to your calls as well, 855-752-4842. For those who didn't experience the violence, January 6, 2021 might feel like it's in the past, but not for me. I keep reliving the five horrific hours of that cold Wednesday afternoon as I try to protect elected officials, regardless of their political ideology, and their staffs inside the Capitol, all without firing my gun. Man, there's a lot to say right then and there, but I mean, we'll continue on and we'll visit some of these statements. As Aquilino Gunnell continues, for my efforts of doing my duty as a Capitol Police Sergeant, I was beaten and struck by raging rioters all over my body with multiple weapons until I was covered in my own blood.
God.
My hand, foot, and shoulder were wounded. I thought I was going to die and never make it home and see my wife and young son. Over the last 4 years, it's been devastating to me to hear Donald Trump repeat his promise to pardon insurrectionists on his first day he's back in office. Quote, it will be my great honor to pardon the peaceful protesters, or as I often call them, the hostages. He said in a speech last year, but all of us who were there and anyone who watched on TV know that those who stormed the Capitol were not peaceful protesters. Pardoning them would be an outrageous mistake, one that could mean about 800 convicted criminals will be back out on the street. It could also put me in danger as I've continued to testify in court and I've given victim statements in cases against dozens of rioters who assaulted me and my fellow officers. I was one of the fortunate ones that day. Nine people wound up dead as a result of the rampage. Two protesters had fatal medical episodes. One rioter overdosed during the uproar. Another was fatally shot by a policeman while forcing her way into the House chambers. One of my colleagues, 42-year-old Officer Brian Sicknick, suffered two strokes after the trauma of fighting off multiple protesters who sprayed him with a chemical irritant. He didn't survive. Four D.C. policemen harmed in the riots later died by suicide. My friend Harry Dunn, the first law enforcement member to prominently condemn the brazen uprising, testified about our primitive hand-to-hand fighting against the improvised weaponry like flagpoles, metal bike racks, and projectiles, with officers bleeding, blinded, and coughing from bear spray. Harry, who was called racial slurs, has since retired his blue uniform. My co-worker, Michael Fanone, was beaten, burned, and electrically shocked. He suffered a heart attack, concussion, and traumatic brain injury that caused him to also leave his position at the Metropolitan Police. While physically recovering, he's been the target of constant harassment from Trump supporters and has struggled to find steady work. Stephen Sund, who was the Capitol Police chief, has been scapegoated and resigned under pressure. I required multiple surgeries, years of rehab, and treatment for recurrence of the post-traumatic stress disorder I was diagnosed with in the Army. I was vilified and called a traitor, as Mr. Trump and some of his fellow Republicans called the riot a day of love and peaceful protest by warriors, patriots, political prisoners, and mistreated hostages, quote-unquote. Although I left the Capitol police force, I remain haunted by that day. Now Mr. Trump promised actions could erase the justice we've risked everything for. I never wanted to be a whistleblower or a troublemaker. I grew up poor in the Dominican Republic, came to this country legally at the age of 12, and became my first of my family to finish high school and college. I lived in Brooklyn, just a few miles from where Mr. Trump grew up in Queens, yet the metaphoric distance between us was vast. My dad was a taxi driver who could only give me $100 to help pay for college. Mr. Trump's father was a real estate developer who bequeathed him at least $413 million over the years. While Mr. Trump escaped the Vietnam draft with a medical exemption for bone spurs and never served in the military, I finished my degree with the help of the GI Bill after I enlisted and served in the Middle East. What I experienced defending the Capitol against rioters was worse than the combat I saw in Iraq.
Wow.
What helped me was bearing witness. In the 4 years since the riot, about 1,561 defendants have been federally charged with January 6 crimes, many of them serious felonies ranging from unlawfully entering restricted grounds with weapons to seditious conspiracy. Approximately 590 defendants have been charged with assault on a federal officer, and 169 have been charged with crimes involving serious bodily harm to a police officer, including assault using a deadly or dangerous weapon. The weapons included swords, axes, knives, taser-like devices, baseball bats, hockey sticks, reinforced knuckle gloves. More than 300 pleaded guilty to felonies, and more than 200 were found guilty at trial. Releasing those who assaulted us from blame would be a desecration of justice. If Mr. Trump wants to heal our divided nation, he'll let their convictions stand. Although I don't blame all Trump supporters, some of my own relatives support him, I do detest what MAGA extremism has done to me and my team on January 6th. I resent the ongoing whitewashing of the barbarity and the collective amnesia of right-wing politicians who aren't willing to hold Mr. Trump accountable. I can't bear to hear Republicans describe themselves as the law and order party. Mr. Trump is returning to the presidency at 78. While I had to leave the career I'd been working my whole life at 42 as a result of injuries suffered while doing my job, I sometimes wonder why I risked my life to defend our elected officials from a mob inspired by Mr. Trump, only to see him return to power stronger than ever. It is hard to witness a rich white man get rewarded for treachery while I'm punished for fulfilling my duty. Maybe that's why so many people don't do the right thing, because it's hard and it hurts. When Mr. Trump recently proclaimed that members of the House January 6th committee should go to jail, Representative Jamie Raskin responded, quote, "In America, we jail people only for having committed criminal offenses that they are found guilty of by a unanimous jury of their peers. We don't jail people for doing their jobs and living up to their constitutional oaths of office." It gave me hope when Mr. Raskin further reminded everyone that Mr. Trump was impeached for his role in inspiring a violent insurrection against the Constitution. I admire Republicans like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who put fairness before party, despite being censured and threatened for their work on the committee. At least I get to hear my son call me his hero as we remember the people who put everything on the line to protect our democracy and continue to tell the truth about January 6th. Opinion piece posted in the New York Times, former Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell on that day 4 years ago today. And all you Trumpsters and Republicans and independents who didn't give a damn, just put the rapist insurrectionist bastard back in office. Come back with us.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK. The stars align behind my eyes. I'm gonna ride. I look into the sky, but all I see is the dirt of
memory. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all.
Thanks for sticking around for this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Up here, we're continuing Dom's conversation about January 6th and the impact it's had on U.S. history. He does take some heated calls in this segment, which do lead to discussion of our president's alleged sexual misconduct. So fair warning, there is a lot of discussion about sexual assault in this segment.
We see the callers, and we've got the texters, but you know the rules around here,
Jess. We do.
Callers get priority.
Always.
Mark from the SAC, you're up. Happy Monday, man. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, thanks. And what strikes me as ironic is we still hear this stuff about the Black Lives Matter protesters. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's nobody out there saying that they should all be pardoned, the ones that did violent acts should be pardoned. They're excusing the damage that was done and saying they were just peaceful. They were all peaceful protesters. Well, a great, great many of them were, but the ones that were committed violence have been condemned, have been convicted, have gone to jail, and have been justly punished. I'm getting tired of hearing this whole, and Ron Johnson is still maintaining, oh, it's just primarily peaceful protests and all this. It's just lies, just the cacophony of lies still coming from Donald Trump, and then offering to, saying he's going to pardon these people. And you hear, it brings tears to my eyes when you hear these officers testifying the damage that they had done to themselves and their compatriots, you know, trying to keep our capital safe on that day. You know, overwhelmed by the number of the protesters that were there, the people that breached the barricades themselves, of which, you know, there was a number of people in our Congress, both in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, as well as on the Supreme Court, that were part of the insurrection. They're in on the coup because the whole thing was planned from before the election even happened back in 2020, I think, that if we lose, we're going to do this kind of thing. And then they came up with the Wisconsin sweep.
The Green Bay sweep, Mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And Trump just had Eastman and Flynn and, Jeffrey Clark, the cat from the DOJ. They all had a little private soiree down at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend, man. He's getting the band back together.
It is just disgusting that this is happening because it needs to be condemned and, you know, hopefully history will actually bear out because we have to keep bearing witness to this because otherwise they're going to try to whitewash this away.
No doubt about it, Mark. And thank you for the call and the observation. Absolutely. And that's why I'm being as specific as I am. Rapist insurrectionist president. Say it. Because that's the reality. Dan from Green Bay, you are next. Happy days, Dan. Happy Hang Mike Pence Day, Dan. What do you got for us?
I was just
All right, hey, Dan, you got to turn your radio down, please. Turn your radio down. All right, come back
sorry
with us.
About that.
All right, yeah, sorry, Dan. Welcome. What do you got?
Well, I have a disagreement with him, and it's really regarding slanderous and libel. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Those are legal terms, slander and libel.
Yeah, in what regards do you think are slanderous and libel?
Well, on Trump, I mean, what he's saying is slanderous and libelous. And
no, and he was actually convicted, if I may, Dan. You know he was convicted of it, right?
No, see, except you don't understand the law.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Here, let me tell you what the judge said, all right?
Okay, I don't give a what Marchant.
No, okay, there you go. Sorry about that, Dan.
Wait. No.
Dude, it's not Marchand, number one, Dan from Green Bay. So get your facts together, all right? Here's what the judge had to say. The filing from Judge Lewis Kaplan, Dan. Lewis Kaplan. This is from the Washington Post, stating my source, back in July 19th of 2023. Judge clarifies, Dan from Green Bay. And that's Judge Kaplan. Yes, Trump was found to have raped E. Jean Carroll. So it's not libel or slander if I'm reporting what the judge said, Dan from Green Bay. That's Judge Kaplan. Got it? Here's what he had to say. Despite Carroll's claims that Trump had raped her, they noted, this is Trump's attorneys, the jury stopped short of saying he committed that particular offense, being rape. Instead, jurors opted for a second option, sexual abuse. His lawyer, Trump's lawyer, says, quote, this was a rape claim. This was a rape case all along. The jury rejected that, made other findings, Trump's lawyer said. Now, the judge has now clarified that this is basically a legal distinction without a real-world difference, Dan from Green Bay. He says that the jury found Trump, jury found Trump did was, in fact, rape as commonly understood. The filing from Judge Lewis Kaplan, Dan from Green Bay, came as Trump's attorneys have sought a new trial and argued that the jury's $5 million verdict against Trump in the civil case was excessive. The reason they argue is that sexual abuse could be limited as the groping of a victim's breast. It could be just simple groping in their, sure, in their definition of it. The judge, Kaplan, Dan from Green Bay, roundly rejected Trump's motion, calling the argument entirely unpersuasive. The judge went on to say, the finding that Ms. Carroll failed to prove that she was, quote unquote, raped within the meaning of New York penal law does not mean that she failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as many people commonly understand the word rape. He added, indeed, as the evidence at trial recounted below makes clear, the jury found that Mr. Trump did, in fact, exactly that. Kaplan said New York's legal definition of rape is far narrower than the word is understood in the common parlance. The former requires forcible, unconsented to penetration with one's penis, Dan from Green Bay. But he said that the conduct the jury effectively found Trump liable for, forced digital penetration, think fingers, Dan, meets a more common definition of rape. He cited definitions offered by the American Psychological Association and the Justice Department, which in 2012 expanded its definition of rape to include penetration with any body part or object. Dan from Green Bay. Trump's a rapist, Dan. So says Judge Kaplan. I'm just reporting on what the judge says, Dan. Now, the insurrection part. All right. Well, he hasn't been found guilty of it because guys like you voted for him, Dan. You know, I'm curious, and unfortunately, I can't bring you back because you blew it already.
Right. Once you break those FCC rules, you don't come back on.
But you got guys like Enrico Tarrio, the Proud Boys cat, right? Guilty, found guilty by a jury of his peers, unanimous, seditious conspiracy, man. This is called overthrowing the government. You know what I'm saying? So we already know that. And he's asking Donald Trump for a pardon. And we do know the Proud Boys were Roger Stone's bodyguards during that time. He was all over. They can find that. That's very easy, Dan. What we don't know is what actual connections or phone calls or conversations or meeting was Donald Trump and his closest advisors involved in, perhaps at the Wilbur Hotel, perhaps at the White House. This thing was coming for a long time, Dan. And because he's elected president and we had a weak-ass attorney general in Garland who dropped the ball and sat on this thing and slow-rolled it for over a year, maybe we'll never know, but he's a public figure, and I can look at the evidence, Dan, and I calls him as I sees him, insurrectionist, rapist, bastard president. Well, maybe not a bastard.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. According to federal documents, 17-year-old Nikita Kasap of Waukesha communicated with contacts in Ukraine and Russia about getting explosives and fleeing abroad after his planned attack. The teen with alleged ties to a satanic cult and neo-Nazi groups faces charges of homicide for the death of his parents and plotting to assassinate the president. Authorities say his alleged manifesto called Trump's removal key to collapsing the U.S. government. Kasap is being held on $1 million bond, with federal charges not yet filed at this point. There were protests at UW-Milwaukee yesterday after 13 students lost their visa. It comes amid a nationwide crackdown by the Trump administration. There have been visa cancellations at universities across the country. There are allegations that the move targets pro-Palestinian activism. However, the university says there is no evidence linking the revocations to political activity. Despite the rain, the fire danger around here remains in the very high category. Lisa Hale has more.
The dry weather and very high winds forecast through this Wednesday significantly increase fire risk across the state. Elevated fire danger resulted in 63 wildfires burning 135 acres this past weekend. And the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is continuing to suspend burn permits in 24 counties. Along with burning permit restrictions, the DNR will be staffing all available fire equipment across the state and shifting resources to areas with elevated fire risk. So far in 2025, the DNR has responded to nearly 500 wildfires that burned 2,000 acres. This is almost double the number of fires in a typical year, and 49% of the fires this year have been caused by debris burning.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Mickey Rourke has been asked to leave the show Celebrity Big Brother due to behavior resembling that of Mickey Rourke. That entails using offensive language and mistreatment of others. First, Rourke used threatening and aggressive language toward a fellow housemate, and that was after he had already been warned for inappropriate homophobic comments to fellow contestant JoJo Siwa. And he always seemed so well-adjusted. When Roger Ebert really liked a film, he would say two big thumbs up. That makes sense on two fronts. My latest Pete pick is Warfare, a film about a platoon of Navy SEALs on a surveillance mission in Iraq that goes horribly wrong. It has a group of young actors who portray soldiers dealing with real-life war trauma. The film is written and directed by Iraq veteran Ray Mendoza. It's hard to watch at times, but the excellent direction makes Warfare the best war film I've ever seen. My thumbs aren't as big as Roger Ebert's, so I will say two medium thumbs up. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clearing sky for tonight with lows in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny day, highs into the mid-40s with a few more clouds in the afternoon. On Thursday, clouds return, a chance of showers, even a few thunderstorms. Highs mid-50s.
Right now, it's 48.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Earl Ingram.
This Wednesday on the Earl Ingram Show, the lead-free crew returns to share the latest updates, followed by Dr. Robert Craig in the second hour to review the week's events.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Thanks for sticking around for this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here we're continuing Dom's discussion with callers about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection. Stick
Hang
around.
Mike Pence Day. It's the fourth anniversary of the Hang Mike Pence event, otherwise known as the J6 insurrection. Remember, they're all chanting Hang Mike Pence. I remember. Who doesn't remember?
Oh, Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Well, someone should tell Donald Trump, or someone should tell
Dan from Green Bay.
Dan from Green Bay, or Senator Ron Johnson. I couldn't believe what I was listening to that as the coverage over the night, because it was happening live. As you know, we had Maggie had called into the show at the time. We played that a little bit on Maggie's show. And folks, if you ever want to check it out, join Maggie on Mondays towards the end of her fine program to jawbone a little bit. And anyway, so we revisited the time when she called in that day on January 6th. And it's tough. It's tough to relive those moments, those events. And I remember, I'm always a kind of laugh it off kind of guy. I mean, that's how we get through life sometimes, man. And I remember I think I was shocked. I was a little stunned. I remember when the news, it came across the Chiron at the time. They were telling Congress to put on their gas masks. And at that point, you didn't really have any like interior shots. Like, kind of came later. And I was like, damn, putting on the gas mask. That seems pretty bad. Yeah. And I remember, I think it was Paul Gosar, freaking the F out. I mean, you could see them. I mean, they were putting stuff up against the doors to keep people from coming in. You know, put on your gas mask and duck down were the instructions from the police inside the room. And it's very surreal. Even now, looking at it, thinking about it, listening, and then to hear people talk about it and just play it off like,
it was a day of love.
I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Talk to the, as I mentioned, this piece. From the sergeant, Gunnell, at the New York Times. Man, tell him that was a day of love. Tell him. Tell the people that died that was a day of love. Tell it to the 140 officers. You know, tell it. And you're going to tell me that you're the law and order party and you can't even get your head around the fact that your candidate's a rapist, as defined by the Judge Kaplan in that sentence with the E. Jean Carroll case. You just can't handle it. Well, you know what? Maybe you should put on your big boy pants, big girl pants, whatever it takes. Put on some shoes, put your boots on, put on a shirt, and handle it, because that's what you voted for. Like it or not, that's what it is. And I think it's problematic. And I hope, and I will be here as long as I can, to remind you of those terrible decisions. Because those of you folks who discount that behavior and discount what happened, you put them back in, if and when worse happens, well, you know why. What did you expect was going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? 855-752-4842. It's a text line. It's a phone line. Calls. Well, you do get priority, but there's a couple of texts out there I want to throw out there real quick. Matt from Richland Center, he says, Dan, the legal scholar, LOL. He was even worse earlier today, clown. Come on. Cam, he brings up the point. I hope other women know Dan from Green Bay. Stay the hell away from him. Well, you know, I tried to edify him, Cam, and I would have liked if he had been able to maintain his composure and use FCC-compliant language
Indeed.
To hear the response. When I tell people like Dan from Green Bay who are just so set aside, oh, my God, it's libelous, it's slander. To what? Report that the judge called it rape, what he did to Trump did to E. Jean Carroll? That's what the judge said. In the common parlance, as we know it, that's what he did. And that's what the judge said. And for, was it ABC, CBS, I forgot who it was, whoever is owned by Disney, for them to settle their case against Donald Trump and donate money. Cowards. It's not coward. I mean, you're assuming that there's a measure of strength here. It's not cowardice. It's a business decision. It's a business decision.
And it's cowardly.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to, what your objection is.
Sure, sure.
What else we got here? 855-752-4842. Dan from Green Bay. Let's see. Troy from Mount Horeb says, Dan from GB called Maggie once, told her she didn't understand the law. Dude.
I'm sure that went really well for
him. I don't know. I mean, you can argue with Maggie about some things, but I would defer to her on most legal issues. just saying. Let's see. Mark from Sussex. How did Trump even win? Americans don't trust the media and Dems from 1/6 to the other politically motivated BS cases. Mark from Sussex. All right, well, then tell me, man, what was 1/6? Tell me what Sergeant Gunnell was talking about when he got his ass beat, man. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. How is that? How is it my fault that a bunch of MAGAs ransacked the Capitol, beat up the cops, and the cavalry was not coming? You know what I'm saying? Where's the wolf, man? Where's the wolf? The cavalry was not coming. And why is that? Well, Donald Trump tried to put it on Nancy Pelosi. Oh, no. You're going to tell me if Trump didn't pick up the phone, call 911, that the cavalry would not have arrived prompto?
Uh-huh.
I think it would have. Their new guy at the Pentagon, what's his name? Christopher Miller, I believe. They had a memo put out for how the police were supposed to handle Trump supporters. And let's just put it out there. It was with kid gloves. You know what I'm saying? If this was BLM or anybody else, bang, 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 that would never have happened. So, Mark from Sussex, man, you give me a call. Tell me where I'm wrong. Americans don't trust the media and Dems. Well, listen, man. I mean, I can see what I see. You're going to tell me that J6 committee with the testimony coming from primarily Republicans inside the orbit, inside the room, working for, appointed by the Republicans and Donald Trump. This isn't some vast conspiracy. These are people who are in the room going, damn, I can't believe that stuff just happened.
Yeah.
And they talked about it. Was that also Mark from Sussex? Is that also our fault that Americans don't trust Dom because I'm telling you what I'm seeing? I mean, I tell you what, man, my eyes work just fine. I got to wear glasses these days. I'm getting a little old. But I can see what I see, man. And what I saw that day, what I've seen since then, is a bunch of cowardice, number one, from Republicans. Paul Gosar with a frightening look on his face of sheer terror. And to come out later and be all tough guy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who was the guy putting up his fist? And then Hawley, right? Putting up his fist and then running like a girl. I don't want to say that. Running like a weakling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to disparage our female audience members. I mean, women are stronger than most of the men I know. So that's the reality of it, Mark from Sussex. Okay, how did he win? Well, he got more votes, dude. You know why? Because people like you think, oh, Donald Trump says it must be true.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Donald Trump, oh, I can't believe this witch hunt. The guy was cutting checks for hush money, quote unquote hush money, to pay off the porno star. Now, you folks used to care about when your Republicans were you know, sleeping with porno stars. I remember those days. It wasn't very long ago. But now you just give it a pass. Well, who gives a damn? And that's my always thing. I was like, man, who cares if someone sleeping with a porno star, whoever else. Man, what two adults do in their own time is their own business.
But when you're paying money to change the perception of you on a national scale in order to influence an election.
Paying money to keep it out of the news.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah, and that's election interference.
Sure is.
And that was the whole point. So you can say, well, it's no big deal. Okay, fair enough. But the dude was cutting checks. And when the guy was cutting checks, he was posting those checks in accounting. And if you're going to, what are you going to put it under? Miscellaneous expenses? You know what I mean? Come on, man. He funneled the money through his attorney, Michael Cohen. Cohen did 3 years for it, man. So how in the hell did the guy who helped facilitate the scheme, he's the one that goes to jail and gets in trouble. But the guy who funded it, the guy who did the deed, cut the checks, and went along with the whole thing, oh, no big deal there. Nothing to see. Your logic doesn't make sense, folks. Gary's from Madison. Millions have witnessed the insurrection. Yeah, we did witness. And today's the anniversary of that. And while I'm truly thankful today that didn't happen, I didn't expect it would. Certainly, Washington was prepared this time, albeit maybe 4 years late with the gates and the cops and the whole thing. And, you know, the weather doesn't help. But be careful out there, folks. A little late, but I'm happy that went through. But let's not forget, today's the anniversary of the insurrection. It's not just January 6th, not just Hang Mike Pence Day, although that'll be known from here on out. That's what we're calling out. Happy Hang Mike Pence Day. Oh, that's awful. You shouldn't say that. Well, that's what they said. You're going to deny?
Really shouldn't have said that.
You're going to deny that they said those things as they were marching through the Capitol?
We got video.
Hang Mike Pence. Hang Mike Pence. When Mike Pence was rushed out with his brother and family,
with his
other
family?
Folks, everybody else rushed out of there. Come on, man. Those things happen. Ask Mike Pence. Ask Sergeant Gunnell. Hell, call me. Ask me. I was watching it. We were reporting on it at the time. Seems like yesterday. Man, I don't know. For some reason, maybe I thought the insurrectionist anger that I had would abide, abate, go away. It kind of doesn't. I'm kind of getting fired up right now just talking about it.
Yeah, I can tell.
855-752-4842. Jeannie from Eau Claire, you are next. Happy Monday, Jeannie. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, happy Monday and happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Wow, outstanding response. Thank you so much. My thoughts exactly. I'm so thankful for you and Jeff. Just keep up the great work because this is serious stuff. I mean, it drives me nuts when I listen to those people call in and say, oh, you know, maybe you're saying something illegal. Trump grabs women's you-know-what, and he says it right on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. They need to leave you guys alone to report the news because you're doing an outstanding job. So please keep it up. And three cheers for you guys. Keep up the great work. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Jeannie.
Appreciate you listening and participating. And listen, there's no... When Trump got in last time, it was always resist, resist, resist. I don't even know what to call it now. I mean, it's just you know, it's just reality, man.
Yeah.
When we see what's going on, we see the meh-ification of January 6th. And on days like today, when Republicans, if you look back and what Lindsey Graham said, Senator Graham, what Mitch McConnell, Senator McConnell, head of the Senate at the time, said back then, and then compare and contrast that to now. It's either you're bought and paid for, you just accept it. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time believing that they would accept it if, you know, BLM, and I hate to use BLM, but of course the Republicans are all over. Oh, they burned down Seattle. They're doing these things. And yes, there were some things that got out of hand and people got prosecuted for it. You know, amazing what happens. But I don't hear you folks, as Maggie mentioned, or anybody else saying, oh, you know, Donald Trump should absolutely just pardon those BLM folks who were, you know, burning things down.
No, not a single voice.
No, not one.
Calling for that.
No,
not a one, because there's a recognition that that's wrong.
What's wrong when the black people do it?
Right.
Yeah. Cam from Appleton, you are up. Welcome, Cam. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I last night stayed up pretty late myself with all the anxiety for J6, but I was also watching a special broadcast from Jessica Denson, who is from Midas Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And, for others out there that don't know, that is a left-wing media source, like absolutely left-wing. But they are credible. And Jessica had a guest on who was serving as a whistleblower, and their credentials checked out. They worked in the U.S. Army. They had computer-related background skills and data analytical skills. They had been working with a bunch of people within their network to compile data for the voting that for this last election compared to the prior election. And then one other thing that I hadn't seen others talk about yet that really spooked me, and that was that if you compare the voting from this time to how Russia's elections are run, where Putin always wins, this election and part of the last election match those trend lines. And I think that that's kind of the theory for why Trump got so mad about the mail-in voting last time.
Okay, we're going to cut you short there. A little light election denialism. Thank you for the call, man. Coming back with more of your calls on the Dom Salvia Show.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Chef Jeff Grunder with a dinner tip you won't want to miss.
the Machine Shed's Parmesan-crusted America's Cut. It's seriously amazing. We start with a juicy grilled pork loin and top it with a Parmesan crust made from real butter, roasted garlic, grated Parmesan, parsley, cracked peppercorn, and toasted breadcrumbs. We bake it to a golden brown and drizzle with white wine sauce. It's a game changer. Trust me. Head to the Shed tonight. I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A North Carolina Supreme Court candidate who lost by 734 votes and refused to concede got help from the state appeals and Supreme Courts in his partisan battle to invalidate as many as 65,000 voters. His case is now back in federal court. April 4th, the North Carolina Appeals Court, on which Judge Jefferson Griffin currently sits, supported Griffin's position that 60,000 voters were never properly registered and that as many as 5,000 military and overseas voters didn't supply ID when they registered to receive their special mail-in UOKAVA ballots. April 11th, the North Carolina Supreme Court allowed the 60,000 voters to stand, but gave the approximately 5,000 military and overseas voters only 30 days to provide missing information or be disqualified, and a federal judge ordered that the race not be certified. April 12th, the League of Women Voters filed a federal class action lawsuit on behalf of those military and overseas voters. Griffin's opponent, State Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs, appealed in federal district court April 14th. In a blistering dissent in the state Supreme Court decision, Justice Anita Earls wrote, "Some would call it stealing the election, others might call it a bloodless coup, but by whatever name, no amount of smoke and mirrors makes it legitimate." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks for sticking around for this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here we're continuing Dom's discussion with callers about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection. Stick around.
Harvey Kay, he's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin. Green Bay friend of ours, you can join us in the next hour. We'll have these conversations and many, many more. Got you folks on the line as well. Let's see, Gizmo from the 920. When your callers don't know how to find the truth of the matter, it means they have an intellectual disability. There's no help for them. I don't want to go that far, Gizmo. There's actual people out there that really do have, you know, real disabilities. And I want to, you know, I don't want to marginalize that. What I would say is when people, you know, get information or see things that they don't want to or they object to and they just cast it aside. Yeah, that's problematic, I think. I mean, if you're presented with facts and evidence and you still decide to cling to the old ways, as it were, well, you know, I don't know what I can do for you there. Red pill, blue pill. What was the in the Matrix? I'm the red pill guy. I don't want to go back to fantasy land. I want the red pill. I want to see what's going on. That's what we do around here. So while they may be disingenuous or conflicted, some cognitive dissonance, I don't know that it would be considered a disability. Ed from Madison, happy defecate on the Capitol floor day.
Yay! Yeah,
right. Another one. We got so many names for today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got. AJ chiming in from Madtown. They don't care, and that's scary. Between COVID and Trump being in charge, that was the scariest time for me. And I've been through some stuff. Nervous, he says. Yep, it is concerning. The good news is we have a little, you know, a little callous. We lived through this once before, so we can at least, you know, be somewhat prepared.
Sure, it's not quite unprecedented anymore. We do have precedent for it. The precedent sucks, but we have it.
We have it. We have something to look back on to estimate. You know, what do they always say? Past returns are no guarantee of future investment. You know, if you're investing something, past performance is not indicative of future
returns.
Sure,
I thought you were fortune cooking.
Oh, no, not at all. Let's see what else we got here. Steve from Lodi, the Cheeto Messiah, found a way to cheat this election. We just haven't found out how he did it yet.
Talk to Cam.
And Cam, listen, man, I know you have, and Cam's very involved and concerned about how this election went down, perhaps as much as Steve from Lodi.
Hell, man, I'm concerned too, but...
And I get that, and I'm not discounting it. And Cam, sorry, man, I didn't cut you off. I had to go to break, and that's what we do, so I had to gut you down. If there are statistics that show anomalies, for example, and there can be... But we need proof, man. There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. But if there's proof of some shenanigans, certainly folks would have been looking at that. I would think there were no objections today, not on the 14th Amendment, not on anything. I mean, everything went through. No one brought up anything. So there's no court cases filed that I'm aware of challenging the validity of the 2024 election. Vice President Harris went through and read the numbers today.
She was the only one who could have called for a recount, and she did not.
And she did not. Nor did anyone else raise objections in the House. So, and I'm not, listen, if something comes up, I'd be happy to talk about it. But until there is some evidence, until there is a lawsuit, until there is a whistleblower, until we know something, it's just, you know, I don't want to say sour grapes, but it just seems like, well, oh, well, what do we do now? I can't be and won't be. Like those other folks who purposefully knew that this election was not stolen, yet they rolled that out there and went along with, well, you know, remember they call it the big lie. Rita from La Crosse. Welcome, Rita. What are your thoughts today?
Well, my thoughts today is that he doesn't even have to take the oath because it doesn't mean anything to him.
Right.
And any one of the politicians that took that oath, that doesn't mean anything to them either.
Yeah.
And this Garland and this so-called Justice Department makes me sick. And I'm, geez, I don't know what we're going to do for 4 years, but I'm so discouraged. We keep hoping and hoping someone's going to do something, and they don't do anything. And that Ron Johnson that we've got at the head of our helm, it's just disgusting.
Rita, I hear you, and we're all in it together, so hopefully we can help each other out and lean on each other. That's what we do. We'll get through it. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, the world doesn't stop turning, right? And as long as we are honest with each other and with our circumstances and lay it out there, man, we don't, we've dealt with worse in this country before our time. Hell, even in our time. So let's just keep straight, keep it on. I know it's tough to get through this and know that our side didn't win. And, man, how could people just ignore the insurrection like they do? I get all that, and I'm right there with you. But we continue, you know, we continue to try to convince people, you know, build the tent, build the team, reach out. And, if you're one of those folks that don't like the fact that I called Trump a rapist, well, maybe he shouldn't be so rapey. You don't like the fact that I call him an insurrectionist, maybe he shouldn't have fomented an insurrection. You see what I'm saying here? I mean, I am relaying what I'm seeing based on actions of a guy like Donald Trump. And if you look back at history, you look back at what people have said, if you look at the testimony of the majority of conservatives and Republicans within the orbit of staffers in the White House, and come on, cabinet members, go on and on and on, that all the things that they said against Donald Trump, what? Everybody else is lying. Donald Trump is the only one. This terrible persecution when his own team are the ones testifying and talking about him. Come on, people, do better. We're going to do a whole lot better here in the next hour. Our pal, Harvey Kay, our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy. We still have one of those here. He's going
to join me. Just as Dom said, in the next hour, we'll have his discussion with Harvey Kay from the anniversary of January 6th. Starting next week, on Wednesday the 23rd, at this time you'll be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. If you want to hear more about Civic Media's lineup changes, head on over to civicmedia.us, or just keep listening to your local Civic Media radio station.
842, come back with us.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
At 3:30, we're talking with Wisconsin Representative Karen DeSanto about the future of public education funding in Wisconsin. She knows a bit about this and how to serve kids as the former CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of West Central Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. That is what it sounded like outside the courthouse where a hearing was held in the case of a man wrongly deported to El Salvador. The federal judge admonished the DOJ for not complying with her order to facilitate the release of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. President Trump is threatening to strip Harvard University's tax-exempt status if it refuses to submit to government oversight. Harvard says it won't, so the administration is freezing billions in funding. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
They are not only indoctrinating our nation's students, but also allowing such egregious illegal behavior to occur.
Today is 6 years since that fire that destroyed much of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Stella Anthikos is visiting the site from the U.S.
Very emotional, and it's wonderful that they were able to restore it. And it's just amazing to see all these crowds.
The cathedral reopened in December. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.